of Israel did as Yahweh commanded Israel. Okay, so Rick, we're going to have the teaching now. Actually, it's different, a little bit different format that we're going to do this week because we're in Jerusalem and we thought we would share the teaching, but we do need to pray before we start. So would you do that, Rick?
Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for allowing us to be here today, and I ask that you would bless this time of teaching and that your words be the words that we hear, not our own. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. So go ahead.
I found this is very interesting. Starting out, I got to get my notes up here. Sorry. Go ahead. You start.
Go ahead, Yako. Did you have some prepared notes?
Not really. So we didn't really prepare anything, but we thought about speaking about the law in general.
Right. Yeah.
The misunderstanding. Misapplication, because I get it a lot lately, is how can you still keep the laws of God if Yeshua died on the cross for our sins?
Yeah.
Not making a distinction between the sins and the commandments that shows the sins.
Yeah. Well, the title of the email and of this session today is Why Keep the Law If It's Obsolete? Of course, that word obsolete comes along in the book of Hebrews, you know, where it says that there's something that's obsolete there. And the English translators inserted the word covenant there.
That's why.
The covenant, according to the English translators, is obsolete. But in the very next verse, the writer says it was a something called them. Now, the covenants were never called them. The covenants were never called they.
Let me read those verses.
Yes, go
it's
ahead.
It's Hebrews chapter 8. Let me just see where to start. 8 verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. By so much he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was built upon better promises. For if the first, and this is where the word covenant is added that doesn't belong there. So I'm going to start again. For if the first had been without fault, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he said to them, Behold, days are coming, says Yahweh, I will make an end of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, a new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took hold of their hand and led them out of the hand of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I did not regard them, says Yahweh. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel and of those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Yes, and the important part there, aside from the fact that it's not the covenant that was replaced, is what happens. He puts his law in their mind and in their heart. Now, he does that. So, our job is to obey his law. This week's Torah portion starts off with some more laws of clean and unclean.
Right.
And now, one of the principles that we learn in the scripture, it's a principle, it's made as a pattern, is the levels of holiness that Yahweh is requiring of his people. So when you're outside of Israel, you are not in any level of holiness. You're outside of Israel. Israel has a level of holiness, and then you go up to another level of holiness called Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, you go up to another holy level, which is called the temple, which today is a Temple Mount. But within the temple, you had levels of holiness. You had the outer court. You had the inner court, which is a higher level. You had then the priests that could go into the holy place, but no one was allowed in there. That's a higher level. And then the highest level of holiness in Israel is in the Holy of Holies. And so what we're learning by studying the laws of unclean and clean is that there are levels of holiness and cleanness in our personal lives. But these are the laws of all the laws that people reject. The laws of clean and unclean are the ones they reject the most. You know, we can agree that we have to do the feasts. We can agree we have to, you know, eat the dietary, keep the dietary laws and eat the food that Yahweh said we're to eat. We can agree that, you know, we are to keep the Sabbath, but boy, these, you know, laws of clean and unclean, you know, now that's going too far. So we don't understand why we have these laws of clean and unclean. And of course in this Torah portion is also, you know, the feasts are mentioned again and the Sabbaths are mentioned again and so forth. But right now I'm going to concentrate on the laws of clean and unclean. We hear it often from people, Christians, that we are the people, we are the temple. Therefore, we don't need to keep these laws. The temple, they say, is you know, those is gone, and the temple rituals are gone, and therefore all of these laws are obsolete, the ones that apply to the temple. Now, here's the deal. Teachers who teach this false doctrine do not understand what they are saying. And the people that say the same thing that their teachers teach them also don't know what they're saying. If Yahweh's stone temple had such high standards, and the administrators of that temple, which were the priests, had even higher standards than the general population of that time, why is it that we think Yahweh dropped his laws, any of them, and even the laws of clean and unclean, for his congregation, which is his temple? And by the way, his congregation was intended to be his temple, to be indwelt by his Holy Spirit at Mount Sinai.
Right.
So those people, the congregation, was the original plan. So the original plan was prevented for a time period by the crimes that the Israelites committed against Yahweh.
And if I might add here, this is what Galatians speaks of. Let me go there. Up until the seed comes.
Yes.
Right.
So God, Israel was supposed to be a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
But then it wasn't even 40 days later after a covenant was made. And they built a golden calf. And so rather than being a kingdom of priests, like it was intended, the royal priesthood, God put them underneath a priesthood to be trained. And then he started to give additional ordinances. And this is what we understand about the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
Everything in that temple points to Yeshua being crucified, died, and resurrected.
Right, which is why we as a congregation should always be pointing to Yeshua. Yeshua always pointed to his Father, and there were very high standards of conduct required for that temple. If we are the temple, then we need to be living by those higher standards of conduct.
Right.
Those are the higher standards that will be governing the kingdom on earth when Yeshua's kingdom comes to earth. The same law that people say that's done away, that's what's going to be governing during that time.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to understand the importance of personal cleanliness according to Yahweh. And I'm not talking about bathing. I'm talking about the, you know, clean and unclean for the general population of Israel, which we are as his temple. And also the upcoming royal priesthood, which we are not yet, we are qualifying for that position. You know, I have taught many times over the last 14, 15 years, that Yeshua is the one who came down on Mount Sinai to give his Father's law. And during his life on earth, he did nothing but point people to his Father and to the commandments that his Father gave. So how in the world is it that preachers stand in pulpits teaching people to ignore Yahweh's laws that govern the very nation they want to enter at the resurrection?
Can I interject?
Yeah, that? Go ahead.
Okay, so what we're saying is that today's society, they say that the law doesn't pertain to us. It's too difficult, and it's only for the Jews at best. So by saying that, they negate all the things that God had done previously and say it's nullified. But what they're doing is they're operating like somebody driving down the road without any instruction, no direction. They're going to go aimlessly and going to run out of gas, and they're not going to get to the point where they need to be at. They're not going to reach their destination. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at this side of 2,000 years or 3,000 years plus from the time the commandments were given on Mount Sinai to all the way back to the creation before the foundation of the earth. These commandments were given way back then before he even set one animal on his planet. And everybody operates under the same guidelines. He says this over and over again through the scriptures that the animals know where they lay down at. They know he feeds them. They know all these things. And yet, when it comes down to people, we don't know who we are as a people group. We don't realize we serve a great king. And that king requires certain things of us. And if we're not following his dietary rules, his anything that he says to do, then we're just saying, we're going to do it our own way and we're going to suffer the consequences ourselves.
Well, and Yeshua told us that his kingdom is at hand, meaning it's right here on the earth.
Right.
His kingdom is on the earth.
Right.
And his kingdom is a kingdom of laws. You know, it's in America. We're a nation of laws. Well, everybody keeps breaking them. But nonetheless, where do you think America got the notion that they're a nation of laws? Well, Yahweh set up his kingdom from before Adam was on the earth to be a kingdom of laws. And the same laws that created the earth from the foundation of the earth are the laws that govern the behavior of the people that want to be in that kingdom. And so we're the evidence, those who keep the law and have the testimony of Yeshua, because in Revelation it says, those who overcome will have the testimony of Yeshua and they will keep the commandments. And actually, that's the place you want to be, because those are the people Satan is going after, and those are the people that Yahweh will rescue. Those that know Yeshua and they keep the commandments. Now, the Lord said in Isaiah 29:13, because this people draws near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men which has been taught. In other words, this is the religious mindset. Right. Just believe that there is a God. Believe that there's a Savior. You know, you don't have to do anything else. That's the heart that is far from Yahweh. And Yeshua repeated what Isaiah said in Matthew 15:7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine rules made by man.
That's the Pharisees.
Okay. I love James. See, what happened in Galatians, Paul said that he didn't go to the disciples. He got his revelation from Yeshua himself. But there was a day, Galatians 1:19, it says that Paul went to speak to James, Yeshua's brother, about the gospel that was revealed to him, which is Paul. So let's go to James, and then James 1:25. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, He is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in his doing. So James called it a perfect law of liberty. And if anyone thinks to be religious among you, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is in vain. Pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father in this, to visit orphans and widows under affliction, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, if you guys remember, Yeshua also had this problem, telling the Pharisees that they do not care about the weightier matters of the law, which is specifically what James just quoted here.
Mm-hmm.
And just what happened, James, this comes out of the book of Revelation, a book of Deuteronomy, sorry. Just see if you made a note. So Yahweh used this several times when Yahweh in the prophets judged Israel. He told them you could not take care of the orphans and the widows.
Yes.
Just like that. So this was already Yahweh, every time Yahweh punished Israel. Okay, not every time, but when he punished Israel, he said, you did not keep my law, what Yeshua said, of weightier matters, which James said, this is the perfect law of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Then James chapter 2, the law of not to be a respecter of persons. Also, this comes right after the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes.
Again, this is also, Yahweh uses this against Israel, to the respecter of person. And I'm not going to quote all of this. We read about this Deuteronomy 1:17, 10:17, 16:19. I'm just going to read it as James put it. My brother, do you have faith in Yeshua our Elohim, in Yahweh our Elohim, the Elohim of glory, with respect to our faces? For if there come a gold-fingered man in a fancy clothing into your assembly, and if there also come a poor man in shabby clothing, and if you have a respect to him who has the fancy clothing and say to him, you sit here in a place, and say to the poor, you stand there, or sit here under my footstool, did you not make a difference among yourself and became judges with an evil thought? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not Yahweh chose the poor of this world rich in faith, and there an heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? This is direct reference to Yeshua coming to the world,
mm-hmm.
spending his time with the poor people,
mm-hmm.
and not being a respecter of persons, going to the houses of tax collectors.
Yeah.
Right.
But you dishonor the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judges' seats? Do they not blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you respect the persons, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. But if you do commit adultery, yet if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as to those you shall judge by the law of liberty. For he who has shown no mercy shall have judgment without mercy, and mercy exalt over judgment.
Yeah.
My understanding of this, I mean, if somebody sins, okay, it could be a Torah sin, like adultery or stealing from the moral laws.
Yeah.
Or just if I sin against Rick, I do something that really offends him, I said something I didn't really mean, I didn't understand, it will offend him. We are to have mercy on people. God has mercy on us, because we will break the law. We will have respect of persons. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
But if we love people, and we just have a respecter of person, because I know you and I don't know Rick. So you come in and I greet you with open arms and so on. I sort of don't even look at Rick. I'm a respecter of persons.
Well,
I did not.
That's the same thing that Paul was talking about, Peter, when he was making the difference between the pagans. Basically, he was witnessing to them, eating with them. And then the people from Jerusalem came, the circumcised sect, and he broke with them and went to the people, the Jews. And Paul got in his face and said, what are you doing? You're setting in these guys' mind the double standard. And we can't do that. We can't do unjust weights and measurements. We have to treat everybody the same, whether they're rich or poor, as long as it's all done with love and understanding in this respect.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember hearing in the church that, you know, these things that James was talking about, the respecter of persons, reading about Yeshua saying, feed the poor, clothe the people, go visit them in prison. And then in the same breath, they would say, but the law is too hard for you to keep. So I went, when I finally went back and read the law, I'd had years and years and years and years and years and years of being told that the law was done away, it was too hard to keep. And then when I started reading it, I went, oh my, I can do that. I can feed the widows. I can take care of the orphans. I can help the people. I can do, you know, if this happens, well, I can go ahead. I can put a safety around, you know, a fence around a hole. You know, there in the Torah, there's a law. If you dig a hole,
yeah,
you know, take care of it. It's like an OSHA. I've joked about that OSHA regulation in the U.S. to keep people from falling in. Oh my goodness, Yahweh actually cares what happens to his people. I didn't realize that until I actually went and read the law. Go ahead, Yaakov.
I've read through Deuteronomy numerous times, and it's amazing how Yahweh always shows you something you missed the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the book of Deuteronomy, technically, what God is telling the people, if you keep my commandments here, you will not fall into idolatry. This will protect you.
Right.
So it's not about salvation, but it is about salvation.
Right.
But keeping the laws, breaking the laws and so on, the salvation is through Yeshua Messiah. But these commandments, if you worship an idol, you're on a very thin line. And this takes us back to Exodus 20, to the first commandment. I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
You shall not make yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow yourself to them nor serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing about the book of Deuteronomy, I love the book of Deuteronomy. I call it the book of the law. It defines itself as the book of the law. I have reason to believe that it could also be the royal law that James is telling us about. It's a summation of the weightier matters that Yeshua speaks of. Everything about loving your neighbor, loving God is in there. There's actually nothing about the Levites in there except you have to feed them. And if they're judges, you have to listen to them. That's it.
Well, that's the same in the book of Exodus. Exodus starts out with how you're going to treat your brethren.
It defines brotherly love.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And yes, and there's some ordinances in there that's like, how does it pertain to my salvation? No, it doesn't. But it teaches you wisdom and understanding of how Yahweh thinks. Because he doesn't think like us. But he does teach, like if you will teach a child, you give him object lessons to do.
Right.
Back then they had a temple. So they were supposed to learn much more. All we have today is just the scriptures we can read. We can't physically see what they did except through books and so on.
Yeah.
Which is, it's really hard because the temple system is a shadow of the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
And that's all we have is that temple system.
Yes. Well, and the order of Melchizedek is not a religious system. It is a government system that is an eternal system that existed and still exists and will always exist before, during, and after the earth. It's, you know, it's hard for people with a religious mindset, Christians, Jews, Muslims, to understand the difference between the religion and the kingdom. That there is a difference between religion and kingdom.
Yes.
In Jeremiah 6:16, Yahweh said, "Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the ancient path, What is the ancient path? So where is the good way? And walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Why do we find rest?